Before I started, I had to take about four sermons out of this thing to make sure I grabbed the right one. You know, they pile up. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. I have some good news and bad news. Which would you like first? The bad news? The bad news is I've been reappointed to Scap Level Trinity for another year of ministry. Would you like the good news? The good news is I've been reappointed to Scap Level Trinity for another year of ministry. Yeah, it's part of what we do at annual conference where I was last week. And I did have a phone call last week that someone told me, enjoy your vacation. And I said, I'm not on vacation. This is work. And it was a lot of work, but it was good work. And we've been reassigned here. And we're very happy about that. We really are. We are thankful for the love which you show to us. I'm thankful for Mana. I know you are too. The grace she shows to this church, the leadership that she gives to all of us and to me is wonderful, and I'm thankful for you. I know that I overpromised and underdelivered last week. I told Mana, it's going to be easy. There'll be a speaker. Just do the normal routine. And it seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But what a leader you have who took all of that in stride. I said, do you want this week off? And she said, oh, no. I'm fine. We'll just keep on plugging away. And I'm so thankful for you. And I know this church is as well. And you're a great leader. And we're thankful for what you do here. Yeah. Things don't always go as planned. That's right. When God says, I'll lead you, you listen and you just do what God says. I'm also thankful for this last year, your grace to me and to my family. We make mistakes along the way. Sometimes we promise a speaker will be here and they don't show up. You know, sometimes we want to visit and we don't make it. Sometimes we want to have some sort of program start and it doesn't take off the way we thought it would. And you have been an incredibly graceful church to us, and you've welcomed us to be part of your family here. And you know, when the bishop said Jim Sands to Scap Level Trinity, there was no other place that I'd have rather been. We're thankful for you as our family. You babysat Ryan so Kristen could come up to conference for a day. And it was good. We got to be Jim and Kristen for just a little while, because Ryan was taken care of, and I wasn't pastor. I was just able to go for a little walk, and we got to enjoy that together. I'm thankful for you know, what a preacher's wife you have here. You know, the churches will let me go, and they'll keep Kristen and Ryan, because the grace that she shows, a servant's heart. She really has a servant's heart. I have to beat her to heaven, because I'm going to have a box of sermons and stuff, and she's going to come with diaper wipes. And she's a servant. That's what she does. She takes care of the boy. And I can't do what I do without her. And I'm so thankful for her and the boy. Your acceptance of Ryan and Kristen is what makes it home here. We're home here, and we really feel welcomed here. When this guy here decided to go walking down the aisle in the middle of a service, that could have gone a number of different ways, couldn't it? That could have gone a number of different ways, but he made it to that man right there, Ken Penrod. And Ken Penrod took out his hand and offered it to Ryan. He shook his little hand and said, good to see you, buddy. And that's when we knew we were home with you guys, because that's a leader right there too, isn't he? And he has a servant's heart as well, and the welcome that he offered to my son was a welcome to us as well. When you're a father, your heart grows arms and legs and goes walking off into the world, and when you accept him, you fill my heart with gladness as well. And as I said, we're just thrilled to be back for another year with you. So what can you expect in the coming year? Well, we've got a lot of stuff going on, don't we? If you weren't here a couple weeks ago, what I'd like to do beginning in July is a number of things. One, the first Sunday of every month after this service, I'd like to meet in that Sunday school hour with the elementary age children on the first Sunday of the month. What do we talk about? All sorts of things. We'll get to know each other and get to know God more deeply as well. And then on the third Sunday, because the second Sunday is Donut Sunday, I love Donut Sunday. The third Sunday, I like to meet with the youth after church as well, and then the same time frame during that Sunday school hour. And already, folks have said, well, you know, Pastor, if you need somebody to fill in for a week during the month to do that as well, I'd be happy to do that. And that's great. Let's do that. You know, let's if you're willing to serve in that sort of ministry, let me know. We'll have a list of... That's Donut Sunday, Brad. You see, even in the middle already, we got people ready to go. That's great. A servant's heart is the what attracts us to this place. So what makes ministry here so much fun is there is just a passion for ministry for the people around the world and in our community. That's what makes this place so wonderful. Another thing, the last Saturday of every month, beginning in July, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, Kristen and I were going to invite special needs parents from around the community to come and just meet for an hour. You know, with special needs children, you have to be very precise on when you're going to be where. And so 10 to 11 is all it's going to be. And that's an opportunity for community to be formed among a group of people who oftentimes feel left out because special needs children take a lot of time and energy, and there's not a lot of time for other stuff. And so community forming in that sort of parenting could be an amazing thing. Now, here's the catch. I'm not doing that to increase church attendance, you know? We're doing that so that we can have a community form of people who desperately need to hear that God loves them, and so do we. But they may find, if there's someone who's unchurched, during that process of meeting together, that this is a safe place for them to come. This is a place where they can find community, and they may want to make this church their church, because they may experience what we've come to experience, the great servant's heart you have and the great grace that you show to children of special needs and to their parents as well. And so I want to make sure that we're ready for that, because as you've experienced, you know, sometimes that child doesn't stay seated for very long. Sometimes they have to get up and go. And I know that if you have people in this church who are willing to extend a hand and say welcome here, and that's going to go a long way. That's not something that I can teach you. That's something that God has to have already placed in your hearts, that's what you want to do. That's the kind of church you want to be. You want to be the place where people say, I want to go to that church, because I know that my son, my daughter will be well taken care of, and I know that they're going to accept me, and they're going to accept that child who will sometimes make a lot of noise in the middle of a service. That's something that if you have that kind of heart here in this church, you know, that word's going to get around. That word's going to get around to people in our community that I want to go there because I know that God's active and those people know who Jesus is, and they want to share Jesus with everybody around them. They might be noisy. They might require us to change a little bit. What would it look like if I told Chris Ream to get out a saw and chop this pew so that there's room for a wheelchair to be here? What would it look like if I told Chris Ream to get out a chainsaw and chop out part of the back pew? Because people in wheelchairs like to sit in the back just like everybody else, right? What would it look like if we were that kind of church? I think we are. Because you're putting your money where your mouth is, and you know we're already in the planning stage for making our restroom over here completely handicapped accessible, and expanding our entryway so that that's a place where if you're in a wheelchair, you press a button and a door opens and you can come right in with as little difficulty as possible. That's exciting stuff, and it's a pleasure for us to be with you and to walk with you, and that sort of heart for people needs to be something that we don't generate, that you generate, so that when the bishop calls one day, and the bishop always calls and says it's time to move, that even though we go, when your next pastor comes in, you say, hey pastor, this is the kind of church we are. We're a church that welcomes people with these kind of special needs, and your pastor goes, that's great, and I'm on board with you. Make sense? I hope it does. I hope that I see that in you. That's the kind of church you want to be, and you're already making the steps to get there. What if this is the church that welcomes people that other people won't? I think that we are. Let's go to Scripture this morning, to the book of Samuel. I try my hardest to make sure that I don't repeat scriptures. I try my hardest to make sure that we go a long length of period before I repeat hymns. This one we did back in November, but it's a good one. And so I apologize that we're going to have a verse that we already did, but listen for God's word to you through these words in Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So Samuel went back and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. He said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," said Eli, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. God, I've prepared words on a card here that in my hands are simply words that will ring in the ears for a while, but then be forgotten. But in your hands, God, the words which I speak may be your words. And if they are your words, God, then they cannot fall to the ground. And so, God, I would pray that you would use my voice, my body, these words which I have written, that they may be glorifying to your name, and that all may know that you are God, and that I am just your servant. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to begin a series that will last us through the summer on the man known as King David. And we will learn all about, you know, our life together through David's life. And what a wonderful life it is. But to begin with, we can't start with David. David's story begins long before David is even born. And part of David's story is this prophet known as Samuel, who is serving this high priest named Eli. And Eli, as high priest, has sons who are also priests. But Eli's sons are not the kind of man, not the kind of men they should be. They're crooks. They're criminals. They're scoundrels. And their reputation is spread throughout the land. You don't want to go to that temple, that tabernacle, because those priests there, they're wicked as can be. They rob from the poor. They take your offerings, and they tell you, this isn't acceptable. Go and bring us another offering, which we'll sell to you at a high profit. And then they just got fatter and fatter and fatter. And Eli just got fatter and fatter and fatter as they were literally eating the people out of house and home. And Eli does nothing to change those sons and their wicked ways. Eli does nothing. And the reputation for Eli becomes soiled by the actions of his sons. Eli is complacent. He's just willing to let those sons do, whatever they want. Even if they're robbing the poor, even if they're abusing women and children, whatever it takes, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to start a scene with my sons, and so I'll just let them do whatever they please. And God gives Eli many warnings through prophets and through direct spoken word to Eli. You got to do something about your kids. They are ruining not only your reputation, but they're ruining my reputation, says the Lord as well. Because when they put on that priestly robe, they represent me. And the way they are doing that is disgusting to me. And they better change their ways. And Eli, as their father, you need to step into that situation. That Eli is complacent. Oh, God, I really don't want to cause a scene with my sons, you know. They might get mad at me. They might not talk to me if I interfere with what they're doing. And so I'll just let them do whatever they want and go their own way. And so finally, God gives a warning through this child whose name is Samuel. He gives the warning through this little kid who's just minding his own business in serving God in the tabernacle. Here comes this message from God. And Eli says, what's the message? Tell me, I want to know. And Samuel gives the same message that Eli had heard again and again and again. You got to do something about your sons. They're disgusting to God, and they're destroying the reputation of God in this kingdom. And finally, what's Eli's response? Yes, I'm going to do what God has asked. Yes, it's time for me to step in. I've had enough. Nope. Well, he's God, and I'm not. I guess if God said, God will do whatever God wants to do. Que sera, sera. Yeah, whatever will be, will be. You see, God is desperate. Desperate for Eli to do something. Anything. Give me a sign that you're alive, Eli. Let me know that you actually care about this ministry that I've given to you. And these sons who I've given to you, show me that you love them. Show me that you care for their spiritual well-being. Well, I don't want to ruffle their feathers. I don't want them to get offended if I say something to them. What's the verse in Revelation? I'd rather you'd have been hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, you're disgusting to me, and I'll spit you out of my mouth. That's Eli, friends. That's this priest, this high priest known as Eli, who's just going through the motions of religion, and it's not getting into his heart. It's on the surface, but even the surface is getting dirty. We emphasize a commandment, because it's one of the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and mother. And we like that one, especially on Father's Day. Yeah, honor me. Honor me, boy. He bought me a tie. It's good. But what is God's commandment to the fathers and the mothers? You honor God. And when you honor God, your children will learn from you. And your children will grow because you are showing them the love which God has poured into your life. This story warns us. Parents, your children are watching. What are they seeing? Are they seeing complacency? I don't want to ruffle any feathers, so just want to get by for another day without an argument. God judges us by our parenting. God judges us by the way we show God's love to our children. And it's not always, oh, I love you so much and you never do a bad thing. Oftentimes it's, I love you and you've done something terrible and you better fix it. Because if you don't, then I'm not being a good father. Teach your children how to be God's people. And don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. Oh, I got them through high school. I got them through college. You know, continue to be a presence in your children's lives. And if you don't have children, then be the kind of parent in your church, in your community, that extends a hand of grace. Teach them. Eli's words sort of sound good. You know, God is God, and God will do whatever God wants to do. That was not the answer God was looking for. God was looking for Eli to do something, anything, instead of just saying, oh, whatever. Tomorrow is another day. And Eli's children learned their lesson from that complacency. Dad doesn't care. And neither does God. Because if God cared, then surely Dad would care and want me to change my ways. But because Dad doesn't, then God must not either. And their lesson was learned. God's judgment came swiftly. In one day, both sons were killed in a battle against the Philistines. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and took it into their land and put it in their temple. And Eli, upon hearing that, was standing somewhat like this. And when he heard that the Ark of the Covenant was captured and his sons were dead, did the next plunge, fell backwards down a flight of steps and broke his neck and died that day. Did God get the lightning bolt from heaven and strike them down? No, their natural consequences of their actions led to their demise in one day. God's hand of protection was removed from that family, and in one day it was wiped out. God is not impressed with showy displays of religion that are on the outside, but at the inside there's nothing going on. Don't just talk about God with your children and the children in your lives, show them with your actions who your God is. Show them and teach them to obey God's commands. Teach them to obey Jesus Christ and to know who Jesus is. And it's not too late. You're thinking, my kids are grown up. What can I possibly do now? Eli's sons were fully grown, and still God was calling on Eli to teach his sons. Don't be complacent, because complacency kills. It kills ministry. Complacency will kill your church. And as Eli learned, complacency will kill you as well. Show your children the grace which Jesus Christ has shown to you. And as I said, if you don't have children yourself, teach the children in your life that God has placed there who God is. How will God judge your parenting? How will God judge your parenting? God loves you, and so do I. Amen.